The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Interpreter. Can you understand my English? That's good, because I can't understand Cambodian. I don't know how all you Cambodians can read all that wiggly squiggly up there, but I guess because we can read English, that our English looks wiggly squiggly to the Cambodians. praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your wonderful word. We just ask the help of the Holy Spirit that you'll help me to know what to say, you'll empower me, you'll speak to our hearts, you'll make this word rich to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Glenn told me he wants me to talk about prayer. I don't know if that's been a bit of a theme this year or anything. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to you about prayer this morning. Now, when you think about prayer, a lot of people go, oh, that's... I know when I was in Bible college many years ago, we were given a book to read called Praying Hyde. Have you ever heard of Praying Hyde? Well, Praying Hyde was a man who got up every morning before the milkman even came and got on his prayer bones on his knees on a hard floor and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know what I felt? Two things when I read that book. Number one, I felt guilty. Because if I ever wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the thought came to me that I should get up and pray, I would immediately do what you would immediately do, and that is just go back to sleep. Think, please, you know, be reasonable. 4 o'clock in the morning's for sleeping, not praying. So I'd feel a bit guilty when I read books like that. And the other thing that Praying Hyde's book said, and I really think that it was a bit of a fable, because I don't think this is physically possible, was that Praying Hyde prayed so much that his heart physically turned inside out or backwards or something like that. So the second thought which came to me when I read that, and it wasn't a very Christian thought, was, what an idiot. Because if your heart really can physically turn backwards or inside out, this was years ago I read it, but something happened to his heart, I thought, you're abusing your body. I mean, that's... If I suddenly get a very sore back from doing something, then I know that that's a warning sign that I'm abusing my body. I better stop doing it. Or change the way that I do that. Better wear a belt around myself and suck my tummy in really hard, or not try and lift that sort of weight or whatever. Don't you? So those were the two thoughts that I had. But the thought is that when we think of prayer, we think how... It's irks. It's often it's a duty. I know I should be praying more, but I don't want to. I don't want to get up at 4 in the morning. I don't want to get on my prayer bones. And when I do, my mind's going to wander. I'm going to be cold and just want to get back into bed. But you know what? The Bible talks about our relationship with Christ, compares it to a marriage, doesn't it? Paul said... For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Then he said, I'm talking about Christ and the church. So our physical marriage, we see Glenn and Carol sitting there together, they're married, is a picture of Christ and the church. So for me, if I like my wife, and I do like my wife, it's not irksome for me to talk to her. But our problem is we've got a wrong vision of God. We don't think of God as a person. We think more of him as a demanding, kind of almost a machine. And if I came home after church today and went into my house and ran my fingers along the windowsills to see if there was dust there and looked to see if the dishes had been done and stuff like that, I wouldn't have much of a relationship with my wife, would I? I don't do that sort of thing. And similarly, if every day when I got home from work, my wife stood me up against the wall and barked at me, have I mowed the lawn? Have I changed the light globes there? Have I fixed that door? Have I picked up my clothes that I've dropped on the floor in the bathroom? Have I this? Have I that? You know what? If she was like that, I'd probably come in the back door and creep up the stairs and go into my room and lock the door. I wouldn't want to have a relationship because I'd be kind of scared of her. But so many of us are like that with God. We think God is upset with us. So we can't talk to him because he's not a person. He's some sort of a demanding machine. I just read something that, do any of you know Barry Chant? Remember Barry Chant? Barry's a good Bible teacher. And I reckon about 15 years, he pastored an Asian congregation in Sydney. They're all mostly Chinese, some Indian people. And he said that one of the Asian ladies said to him, the one thing she said, Pastor Barry, I'm so glad now to be a Christian because all of our Asian gods, we've got to appease them. We've got to make them pleased with us. We've got to atone for our sins and make them pleased with us because we've displeased them so much. I've got a bit of echo there. Can you take that echo out? Can you hear that echo? Can you? That's bugging me a bit, sorry. Hello. Does that take the echo out? It did? Okay. So many of the Asian gods, and any god, Asian, African, whatever, demands that that the sinner does certain things to appease them. Isn't that right? And but our God who clothed himself in Jesus Christ and came to earth as a man and said, this is really what God's like. Look at me, this is what God's like. He took that initiative and he went and made appeasement for us. Didn't he? On the cross. So the reason that we feel guilty, well, man feels guilty universally. The main reason that he feels guilty is because he is guilty. It's just a fact before God. But God has solved the problem. God has come down as man himself and on the cross took full punishment for everything that you or I have ever done. It's done. And I remember reading, when our children were little, we used to read James Dobson books. Remember James Dobson about how to bring up children? Very just good, common sense, wise advice. Actually, I photographed a guy. I'm a photographer, professional photographer. And I photographed a family about a couple of months ago, and his name was Dobson. And I said, oh, and his name was James too. I said, oh, James Dobson. I said, I'm pleased to meet you. I've read books by you. He said, oh, really? And he said, oh, the only James Dobson I've heard of was, how did he put it, some ratbag, radical, right-wing Bible basher from America. I said, oh, really? never heard of that one. I didn't tell him that was the one. But James Dobson used to say, sometimes your children want a little smack. If they've been naughty, sometimes they're just waiting. Just give them a little. You don't have to. Now, nobody's abusing children. People talk about it. When you smack children, you're abusing. That is absolute garbage. That's garbage. And you're hardly allowed to do it. When I was a kid, I used to get the cuts in primary school. Who used to get the cuts here? And they used to put there, well, I'm still alive. I don't need counselling. I've never, you know. But a lot of kids today, you can't even tell them in the classroom. They just run riot and they just run away and just run all over the teachers. Oh, boy. You know, and now we've got to pray, says ACL, because if the Labor government gets back in, they're going to try and say that you can't have Christian teach, can't discriminate and say in Christian schools you've got to have Christians. So Labor, Liberal, I can't vote for any of them. I'm not getting too political here because I don't believe in abortion, do you? I can't vote for any of them. I'm going to vote for Christian parties. But anyway, they just run riot. So sometimes kids just need a little smack, Dobson said. Just give them a little tap and then they'll be happy. And so we feel like I can't really talk to God. I can't really talk to him in conversation because I've been bad. But listen to me. Look at me. You were smacked. You've been smacked for your naughties. Did you know that? People say, oh, he's beaten within an inch of his life. You know what? The life was beaten out of you. You were smacked so hard you died. You were actually killed because of your sin. You say, Tony, I've never been killed. When was I killed? You know my answer? 2,000 years ago you were killed for your sin. You say, but I wasn't alive 2,000 years ago. No. Some of you, I don't look 2,000 years old, do I? I'm getting a bit older looking. I wasn't alive 2,000 years ago, yet I was, because Jesus was me, wasn't he? Jesus was me, and he was fully smacked. Did Jesus take enough punishment for you? Did he pay the penalty for you? Was his blood enough? Was his suffering enough? The answer is yes. Then stop feeling guilty. Stop it. Stop it, because when you feel guilty, you're saying, Jesus, your death wasn't good enough. Your suffering wasn't enough. Your punishment wasn't enough. But I'll tell you what, my Bible says that it was enough. Hallelujah. It's enough. So what father wants his kid to feel bad? My kids, when I used to get home from work, when my kids were little, I'd be away. I'd lived up in the country and I'd go away on Friday and do all my photography sales from the weekend before, and then I'd stay in a motel and photograph another lot of families. The little town I lived in wasn't big enough to give me enough photo shoots every week, so I used to travel. And I'd be up in Mildura and down in Bendigo and across in Deniliquin. And I'd go on Friday morning, come back Saturday night. And when I came home, Hey Hey It's Saturday was on. I used to like Hey Hey It's Saturday. Didn't you? My wife didn't like it, but she's, anyway. Hey Hey It's Saturday. And my kids had run out the door when I got out of the car. They'd hear the car come into the carport. I'd get out. They'd all run out and they'd jump on me. One would jump on my neck. One would jump on, put its hands around my tummy. One would grab my leg. And I used to love that, Gwen. I used to love it. If they did it today, they'd kill me. They're all a lot bigger than me. But what would happen if I said, oh, where's Paul? He was a minority one. He jumped the hardest because he'd, you know, probably his mother had said, wait till your dad gets home, so he'd make sure he got to me first and give me a big hug. But what if I said, where's Paul? Oh, Dad, he's hiding behind the sofa. And why? Oh, I don't know. So I go behind the sofa. Paul, come out. And what if he came out like this? Oh, Dad, I'm such a bad person. Do you know what I'd feel? I'd feel so bad because I'd think, I am a terrible father. What have I done to make this kid feel like he has to grovel and crawl and cringe at me? Why can't he come and run and jump on me like the others? But we do that to God. We make God feel like he's a bad father. No. That blood has cleansed you. The cross was a success. He took your old person, he took your old self, which was naughty, and killed it. And rose up a brand new person, and you rose up in him. You were in him. That's why the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. I'm not going to worry about somebody who's passed away. People pass away all the time. I read them in the Sun. Loads and lines and columns in the obituaries. In the Sun, so-and-so has passed away. You passed away. That old self passed away. I buried my old self. I bury things that you'd want to bury things that are dead, wouldn't you? So I got baptized. Do you know what baptism is? It's going down into the water. That's burying my old self. Then I rose up. Hallelujah. I'm not that old self anymore. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, the Bible says, and Glenn nearly got to verse 18, all things are of God, given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's trespasses against them, but counting them paid by Jesus, is given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He who knew no sin, verse 21, became sin for me, that I might be made, what? The righteousness, what? Of God in him. Ever, we haven't got a whiteboard here, have we? But, bring over that whiteboard. I might have done my little diagram here before. I can't remember. I'm preaching at a church in Wyala in a few weeks, and I said to the guy, I was there about 7 or 8 years ago. He said, church population's changed since then. We've probably only got 20% of those people here. I said, well, good, because I can tell all my same jokes again. So if I've done this before, doesn't matter, because it would help if we had a marker. Well, sorry, Rosaline. What I'm going to draw is a righteousness meter. Do you know what a meter is? A thing. You ever seen a fundraising meter outside the local hospital? Maybe they're going to build a maternity wing or something, and it's going to cost $2 million to build, and the government's going to kick in $1 million, and the hospital's got to raise the other million. And so, thank you very much. Grazie, Signora. So here's a fundraising meter, you know, outside the hospital. You've seen them. And up here, we want to get $1 million. And so we're up to 200. Thanks, bud. And then, you know, they've got a few fundraising things, and 6 months later you drive by and it's up to 500, and eventually it gets up to 2 million. And they can build the maternity ring. So I want to do here for you a righteousness meter. A righteousness meter. Degree of righteousness. Now, let's say that's a mid-range. So, let me ask you somebody, not the devil, but who, tell me a bad person. Hitler, okay. So, where would Hitler be on the righteousness meter? There's a mid-range, well, he wouldn't be above there. He'd be right near the bottom, wouldn't he? But he wouldn't be totally bad, would he? Because maybe he had a little dog, and he used to be nice to his little dog. So, we're going to put Hitler about... We'll put Hitler there because he patted his dog. Now tell me a person who's good. Tell me a good person. Who's that? Gandhi, Mother Teresa. We'll put Mother Teresa up because she had the right religion, all right? But we're not going to make Mother Teresa totally good, are we? Because she might have had a little dog, and when she got in a bad mood, she might have kicked it, all right? Nobody's perfect. So I'll put Mother Teresa here. She's nearly perfect, but, you know, she got in a bad mood every now and again, and she gave that little foxy a good kick up the whatever. So, here's the mid-range. What about you and me? Well, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. We're Christians, aren't we? So we're not going to say we're as good as Mother Teresa, because we're certainly not as bad as Hitler, but we've come to Christ, so we know we're getting a bit better as time goes on. So I don't want to look like I'm putting tickets on myself. So I'll say, I'll be about there. I'll say I'll be about there, wouldn't you? Yeah, sort of, about sort of there. Above average, but no Mother Teresa. So tell me someone who's, and you can say a spiritual entity now, tell me somebody who's totally, absolutely bad. Satan. He's right down there. Satan. He's absolutely, he's got not one good thing in him. He doesn't like any dogs. Tell me somebody who's totally, totally, absolutely, 100% not a spot of badness in them, but totally righteous and good. Jesus, God. We'll say God. He never kicks dogs. So, the Bible says, he that knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for me, that I might be made what? The righteousness of what?
God.
That's blasphemy. I can't say that I'm the righteousness of God. No, you can't, but the Bible already says it. Why? Why? Why does the Bible say that you're that right with God? Because Jesus set you right. Jesus didn't do a half-baked job. He didn't do, when he shed his blood, it didn't do a half-baked job. It made you absolutely 100% right. Now, I can stand up on the inside when I realise that. I don't have to be like a little cringing dog when I talk to God. I can talk to, when I come into my wife's presence, I don't cringe. Even if I have dropped my clothes on the bathroom floor. And sometimes I do. Why do you do that, she says. Well, I don't know. I'd think of a smart answer if she actually asked me that. One would come to me, I'm sure. But I'd probably say something very Christian like, get over it. And go and pick him up. So, but when I see Leanne, I give her a kiss and a hug and everything's right between us. I can talk to her. You can give God a kiss and a hug because he's made it right. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to do whatever penance you... Penance has already been done. It's already solved, problem solved. He knew no sin, became sin for me, that in him I might be made the righteousness of God. That is a gift. I know it's a gift because I know if I think, boy, Lord, I didn't get righteous by my actions because I'm aware of my failings, aren't you? I live with myself every day. I know that I could be better. I know that. You know that too. But by his grace, he's lifted me into the highest place. You know, I'm real, fair dinkum, genuine, eternal royalty. Did you know that? See, Queen Elizabeth, I don't know if she's born again or not. I've got no idea. But if she's not born again, she's only royalty until she dies, which will be fairly soon. She's 88, I think, so she's doing well. But, you know, one day she's going to breathe the last and off she'll go. And if she's not born of the Spirit, that's the end of her royalty. But me? See, the Bible says he came unto his own. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them he gave them the power to become the children of God, the sons of God. So I'm born of God. God is my Father. I am royalty. I must be if I'm the Son of God. Are you a son of God? No gender in the Spirit, son, daughter. Okay? So you're royalty. You're real royal. And I love, there's a little chorus we used to teach the kids when I used to do Sunday school years ago. It goes like this. God is my Father. And Jesus is my brother. The blessed Holy Spirit is my guide. I am a new creation, the devil's no relation. I'm of the royal family in the sky. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I'm real royalty. I'm eternally royal because I'm eternally born again. I always say, if Queen Elizabeth ever met me, I hope she wouldn't be too nervous, all right? See, real royal. So I can talk to God. Because Jesus already dealt with that problem. He put sin away with the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. Made me the righteousness of God. Now I can talk to him in prayer. I like talking to people I like. Don't you? If I don't like people, I don't want to talk to them. I hope they'd go away. But I like talking to people I like to, that I like. And I like God. I like him lots. He likes me lots. He likes you lots too. He's not a machine. He's a person. He's got feelings. He likes it when you talk to him. Did you know that? He likes you. He not only loves you, He likes you. Do you know that He likes you, Miss M?
Yes.
That's good. What does M stand for?
McDonald's.
Margaret. Margaret. Are you Margaret?
Yes.
He likes you, Margaret. And you like Him, don't you?
Oh, yes, I like.
Hallelujah. That's good. Glory to God. That's good. So we can talk to Him because He likes us and we like Him, and He's, that problem's gone. You know, Isaiah, we quote it, your sins have made a separation between you and God, but my sin is gone. That's Old Testament. It's cleansed. The blood worked. Better than Ajax, better than nappy sand, better than Omo with enhanced brightness. The blood of Jesus cleansed me. Hallelujah. And if the blood cleansed me, I'm clean. Glory be to God. I can talk to God and He can talk to me. Now, that's my introduction. I'm not going to go too much longer, don't worry. But I want to talk to you about how to pray the prayer of faith. See, there's a prayer you can pray called the prayer of faith. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up and all those sorts of things. So when I became a Christian in year 12, 17 years of age, many years ago now, I started to read the Bible. I thought, this is great. Oh, look, you can ask whatever you want in Jesus' name and it'll be done. And I thought, this is going to be a real adventure. But then I looked around at the church, and I was in an Anglican church in those days, a good church. The Anglican church in Sydney is evangelical. They actually bought Billy Graham out. They were the prime movers of bringing Reverend Billy Graham, who was an American evangelist, out to Australia in the 60s. So I was going there, but there was nothing. It just seemed like when I looked in the Bible and looked at church life, they seemed to be different. Where were the miracles? Where were the answered prayers? And I just figured out in my mind, I adopted a heresy in my mind. I didn't know this heresy had a name, but it's called cessation theory. Now, cessation means to cease. And cessation theory says the miracles of Bible days have ceased now because God only used miracles in those early days to get the church launched. And once it was launched, He took the miracles out and He doesn't do them anymore. And I just figured in my mind, I read all the healing and the miracles and I thought, well, you know, now we don't need healing because we've got doctors and they do such a great job. And doctors do a good job, don't they? We're grateful for the medical profession. You know the best thing that I'm most grateful for medically? Anesthetics. Lord, think if you had to have an operation without the doctor said, I've got to cut you open from here to here. We'll give you a pillow to bite on. I think I'd say I'd rather die. The dentist said to me the other day, do you want a needle? I said, what do you reckon? Do I look like a martyr? Chuck that needle in. I'm very grateful for anesthetics, aren't you? I'm grateful for the doctor. I'm grateful for medicine and for the advances that it's made, and I'm a beneficiary of them, and most likely so are you. But I just thought, well, now we've got doctors and people know a lot more, then we don't need healing. God doesn't heal anymore. That was subscribing to the cessation heresy. So that's a heresy because all the Word of God goes on for all the new covenant it's an eternal covenant. And when God said the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up, that's what He meant. Now, I'd do anything to be healed, wouldn't you? When I'm sick, I'd ask you to pray for me. I'd go to the doctor, I'd do anything. So I think it's good. Use whatever avenues there are to take. But then I got baptised in the... Well, I came to Victoria and my Anglican minister said, the one from the Sydney area, said, when you go to Victoria, become a Methodist. I said, why? He said, because in Victoria, the Anglicans are high church. I said, what does that mean? And he explained it to me and I didn't understand, but I just did what he said and I was a Methodist for 6 weeks. And I'd moved to Swan Hill. I'd heard of this town called Swan Hill. It sounded so nice. You ever heard of You know, a name makes a picture, doesn't it? And I thought of hills, green hills like that. And beautiful, I knew the Murray went through that. And in my mind, it wound its way through these verdant green hills. And there was big ponds on it. And swans glided backwards and forwards on these ponds. Has anyone ever been to Swan Hill? Put up your hands. What's the first thing you say? Okay, so where's the hill? It's flat as a pancake, isn't it? Flat as. And secondly, where's the swans? I don't know if there are any. There might have been one. But Swan Hill ain't got no swans and it ain't got no hills. It was flat as a pancake. And I drove in there. I got a job there. I thought I'll stay here 6 months. And I ended up being there nearly 30 years. But I was struggling in my Christian life. I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep going. I was so burdened with guilt. I felt like I was failing God so badly that God wasn't pleased with me. I just didn't seem to be able to get rid of what I perceived as my sins. Do you know what? Listen to this. Sometimes you think you're sinning and you're actually not. Because the devil will come in this ear and put a thought in your head. And then it'll run around the other ear and say how bad you are to think that. See, there's a verse in the Bible. If you think of the implications, it's quite drastic. It says this. Jesus was tempted in every way like we are. So there are certain things that happen, you read about in the paper, you think, oh, I would never even be tempted to do that. Remember that bloke who, despite his wife, chucked his little baby off the Westgate Bridge? How could somebody do that? How could they do that? I'm not only upset by it, but I would never even, that would even tempt me, that thought. If my kids were on the Westgate Bridge and they were little, I'd run to them and grab them and put them in the car to make sure they couldn't fall over. This guy threw his kid off the bridge, despite his wife. You wonder if his parents are married, eh? Anyway, that was good. But the thing is, Jesus was tempted to do that sort of thing. Yeah, you got to be joking, Tony. Jesus would not. Well, that guy might be sitting in Port Phillip prison now reading his Bible today, and he might read that verse. Jesus was tempted in every way like we are. Then if Jesus wasn't tempted to do that, then that verse is a lie. But he was. See, Satan put that thought in Jesus' mind. Not there wasn't a Westgate Bridge, but take vengeance by killing somebody. Do something real mean, nasty. What about that other, what about the batty bloke, the little Luke batty? How could a dad, lovely little boy like that, how could a dad take a cricket bat and a knife and kill his own kid? You think, how could somebody do that? I would never be tempted to do that, would you? I just couldn't do it. Most, 99.9%, we know that guy was full of demons. He was off his rocker. But Jesus was tempted to do something like that. Jesus would have been tempted. If he wasn't, then that scripture's a lie. But he was. Jesus, listen to me, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. But then there's three beautiful words after that. What's it say? Yet without sin. Oh, whew. Being tempted is not a sin. Being tempted to do things bad is not a sin. I thought it was. I'd think, God, I'm so sorry for thinking that thought. But it came from the devil anyway. Came from the devil. And even if it didn't come from the devil, even if it just came from my humanity, which it could have done sometimes, yet without sin. It's when you take it and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. That's when you cross the line. But you cut them off at the pass, don't you? Remember what somebody said, you can't stop the birds of the air flying over your head. You can stop them, what, making a nest in your hair. In other words, those thoughts are going to come. Even the Pope would have them, I'm pretty sure. But you just got to, no, I don't think like that. Get out of here, devil, in Jesus' name. It's not a sin. So sometimes you're belting yourself for something that you're innocent of. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Praise God for that. So, the prayer of faith. I'm going to finish in about 4 minutes. I'm pretty sure I am. Let's quickly look at that famous prayer of faith scripture in where Jesus cursed the fig tree, Mark chapter 11. Remember, Jesus goes up, he's hungry, he sees a fig tree in the distance, and the next day, when they came out of, this is Mark 11, verse 12, when they come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see it if perhaps he'd find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. It wasn't the season for figs. Verse 14, and Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. I used to think that's very unfair. How unfair is that? It wasn't the season for figs. You go up to get a fig off it. There's no figs when it's not the fig season. And you say, you curse it. I think that's not fair. And then somebody told me, and I Googled this, and it is true, so Google knows everything, that before a fig tree actually has figs, there's little buds that the Middle Eastern people used to go and pick. They're like little lollies, so pick them off and chew them just to refresh themselves. And that's what Jesus was looking at, not figs. He knew it, so I forgave Jesus when I read that. But I used to think sometimes, you know what it's like, you do read some things in the Bible, you go, that's not fair. But God knows you're thinking of him anyway, so you may as well tell him. So he goes, and if there's nothing there, and then they come back the next day, remember, and the disciples see the fig tree, it started to die, withered from the roots. And they went, look, there's the fig tree. We'll read it. Verse 20, in the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And here's a condition to it, verse 28, and whenever you stay in praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Don't forget that part. You can't pray the prayer of faith if you're harbouring unforgiveness. God forgave you, you forgive me, all right? That's the deal. I'll forgive you because God forgave me. If I don't forgive you, the Bible says God doesn't forgive me, so I love all of you because I need to be forgiven, don't you? So, this is the prayer of faith, verse 24. Whatever things you ask for, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, my mistake was that I used to think that faith is a feeling. Now, faith has a feeling, but faith is not the feeling. Faith produces a feeling. See, at the moment, I feel like I'm standing on a platform. But standing is not a feeling. Standing is an action. I'm standing, but I feel. I can feel under my feet. I can feel that platform there. So my standing has a feeling. Faith is not a feeling, but faith has a feeling that comes with it. But I thought there was this big feeling. I could have whatever I wanted, the Bible said, if I believed. I thought, well, that's, I know that I don't believe. See, I'd go, and it was, to me it was like Jesus said, go into Darrell Lee lolly shop. All the lollies are on the top shelf there. And you can have anything you want if you can climb the ladder. The ladder had five steps on it. F-A-I-T-H, faith. So I'd lean my faith ladder. I'm not doubting. I'm believing. I've got the faith feeling. And then I get up and there was no H. I was a step shock. Oh, I am doubting. Yeah, I don't really believe. And I'd see these people who were faith people. I'd think, how can they do that? How can they just believe that they're going to get that? And I thought, amazing. I thought, to me, they were spiritual giants. I just could never do it. I just knew when it came to it, I'm doubting. See, I didn't understand. Jesus didn't say, when you pray, believe that you have it and you'll have it. He said, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Now, a good illustration is one day your wife, if you're a husband, came home and said to you, and ladies, listen, this applies to you too, I've just been to the doctor, and guess what? We're having a baby. in, the doctor says, in 8 months' time, I'm a month pregnant, we're going to have a baby. Oh, I doubt that. You don't look any different than when you went to the doctor half an hour ago. No, stand on the scales, you're the same weight. Let me pat your tummy. No, no, you're not having a baby. No, no, no. You know, you just accept the word of the doctor, don't you? I accepted Dr. Briggs' word. He was our doctor years ago. Faith is just accepting a word. See, if I said to you, Glenn, are you home this afternoon? And Glenn said, yep. Is it okay if I dropped around about four for a coffee? And Glenn would say, yes, he'd say. So I said I'm going to drop round at 4 o'clock for a coffee. So at 5 to 4, Glenn puts on the kettle and plugs it in and opens a cupboard and takes down a couple of mugs. And Carol says, what are you doing? He says, I'm putting the kettle on. Why? Oh, Tony's going to drop round for a coffee. How do you know? Because he told me. Because he told me. And Carol says, you sure it was Tony? Yeah. Well, when Tony said that, says Carol, did go through you like that? Glenn goes, no. And Carol says, so didn't go through you when you heard Tony say he was coming at four? Glenn goes, no. And Carol says, that wasn't Tony. Because when Tony speaks, goes through you. Glenn goes, you're weird, Carol. But we do that with God. If God says something in his Bible, do we have to have that happen to us? I just accept what he says, don't you? Just accept what he says. When I read that God created the world, does it go through me? And when Mr. Dawkins says God didn't create the world, I say, well, no, I believe the Bible. I just believe he did create the world. I just accept his word. That's faith. I just accept his word without evidence because I know him. That's all faith is. And I used to think I'd have to come out in the prayer line for healing, right? I had a cold. I had the flu or something, and I'd come out and my eyes were running and my nose was running and I was giddy with a fever and I felt like, you know what? And I thought when the person prayed for me, I had to pretend that I felt okay. Oh, yes. How are you now? I'm great. Oh, thank you. Yes. God's healed me. Thank you. I feel fantastic. And all the time inside me going, liar, liar, your pants are on fire. You feel even worse. Because I thought the Bible said, when you pray, believe you have it, and then you'll have it. The Bible never said that. Jesus said this, when you pray, believe you receive it. So my wife used to suffer hay fever every year. We used to have a block of land with a lot of wattle trees. So what's the time? Springtime about now. Wattle would come out. She'd be wheezing and a sneezing and all that sort of thing. So I'd say, let's ask God. She said, I can't really believe. Haven't got the faith to believe for a total, you know, permanent healing. I said, well, let's just ask God and ask God for relief from hay fever for today. She'd say, yeah, let's do that. So we'd hold hands and I'd visualise God. I'd have a picture of God on his throne. I'd just see a silhouette. I'd say, Father, today we just ask that Leanne has relief from hay fever today. And in my mind, I'd make my picture go, yes, like that. I just did it. I'm allowed to do it. I did it anyway, whether I'm allowed to or not. I'm still alive, so I must have been allowed to. And then I say to Leanne at morning tea, how's your hay fever? Oh, actually, no, I haven't got it. See? And then I went overseas on a mission trip, and Chris was 9, I think, one of my boys, and she'd say, and Leanne said, Daddy's away. Can you pray the prayer of faith with me, Chris? Chris is a great little kid. He thought, oh, you don't need to pray that every day. Jesus can heal you straight off. So he prayed. Chris prayed as a 9-year-old and she was totally never had hay fever since. So there you go. But believe you've received. Believe God said yes, then you'll have it. You don't have to have the evidence. You don't have to believe that you haven't got the flu when you have got the flu. You don't have to believe that your bank account's full when you know it's empty. Just believe God said yes. Things are changing. Glory be to God. And you know, in between when God says yes, when you receive and when you have, do you know what that period's called? It's called the trial of your faith. It's the trial of your faith that when the evidence isn't there, it's not denying reality, it's just believing you've received. Now, the evidence isn't here yet. Now, I still feel a bit crook and my back's still a bit stiff or whatever, or I'm getting there financially. I'm not talking about being stupid and running up everything on a credit card and expecting God to send a miracle, but, you know, maybe we have been foolish. Who hasn't? And overspent a bit, and now we've mended our ways, we're trying to budget, we've lost our job and stuff like that. But things, we've prayed the prayer of faith, now things are turning. Things, we believe God said yes and things are changing. In between when God says yes and when you see the fulfillment, that's like the birth of the baby. 9 months later, out popped that little baby. And we had it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the prayer of faith. Just believing God says yes. How do you know God's going to say yes? Well, make sure that it's covered out in the Bible. There's plenty of scope for you there. I mean, I could say, I now believe that the Lord is going to get me a penthouse. Somebody in New York is going to give me a $12 million penthouse and a first-class air ticket to fly there. Well, is that in the Bible? Well, it is if you really believe. Well, Jesus said, whatever things you pray for. Well, but I can't really believe that, Glenn. I don't really believe anyone's going to give me a $12 million penthouse. But if you want to give me a $12 million penthouse, don't worry about my believing. You just go ahead and do it, all right? But really, deep down, I can't believe that. But there's stacks of stuff I can believe for in the Word of God. I'm in favour. He won't give me anything that's going to harm me. He'll give me every good thing, the Bible says. And there are a lot of good things that God can give me. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your Word today. Thank you for that we're in favour with you. We can pray that prayer of faith. We are the righteousness of God. We praise you. Now, just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I know most of us, perhaps all of us, know Jesus in a personal way. We're all saved and we're Christians. Maybe there's somebody here today and you've never given your heart to Christ. You know about him, but you don't know him. And you'd like to say to Jesus, I want to open my heart to you. I want you to come into my life. I want you to cleanse me. I want to become a child of God. If you've never done that, and today for the first time you'd like to, would you just lift your hand so I can see your hand? I want to pray a special prayer with you. All of us, are there somebody up the back here? So I'd like to pray that with you if you'd like to come. I want to quickly just encourage people. I'd like to pray the prayer of faith for you if you're in pain today. I mentioned bad backs. You can look at me now. Probably the most common thing that people suffer from is a bad back, because we all often, as time goes on, we do something that injures our back. If you've got a bad back and you'd like prayer, I'd love to pray with you. We'll receive that healing gift and we'll just believe that that healing gift will drop into you. If you'd like wisdom, I talked about finance. If you'd like wisdom for finance, if you're struggling in that area and you need wisdom, why don't you come and let me pray with you and we'll ask God to give you wisdom. Anything else, we're not going to prolong it. I've talked a little bit long maybe here today. But let's just sing a chorus. What are we going to sing? Something. Who's our song leader? Just sing something really good. And one of the ones we already sang this morning. Can we all stand up? And like a rose trampled on the ground, that one. Yeah, that's the one. We'll sing that. If you'd like prayer, just come and stand. If you'd like to make Jesus your Lord, you've never done it, come and stand here. I'd love to pray with you this morning. And then we'll end off.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.